Blog Talk Radio.
Your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great. Beginning of another week of world-transformed goodness, right?
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking for the last month or so, we've been really steady about doing three shows a week. And every show has been, although we've done thematic shows, every show has been kind of a grab bag in that we've covered several stories. And I just wondered how many different future stories have we covered? I think we've probably done as many in the last month as we had in the previous 3 months or something like that leading up to it. Maybe even more. I don't know.
Here's the thing, Phil. We're not running out of stuff. I feel like we would not be doing the news cycle justice by doing less. You know, I mean, it seems like we got to do more in order to keep up with all the stuff that's happening. So, yeah.
I don't know who we ever thought we were kidding with a weekly show.
Yeah,
okay.
Once a week show that we weren't getting it done. We were resting on our laurels a little too much. Yes.
We were. It should probably be daily. It should probably be 90 minutes a day, like the old Tonight Show back in the day. But it's hard to work that out. I know. It's the whole, you got to earn a living, and it would take a while, tracking everything, getting it all written up and getting the show descriptions done. I mean, it would be a big job, and someone needs to pay us to do that, commensurate with what the job is worth, not just replace what we're currently making at our day jobs. So if anybody has an extra, I'm going to say $1.5 million, that would do it, right, a year that they don't know what to do with, fund the show. Okay, there. I'm going to put it
out
there.
We'll make it a 90-minute a day show, and hey, it'll be awesome.
And we will cover, on every each installment, we will do at least 10 topics. So it'd be like 50 good future topics covered every week. That'd be worth somebody's million. I don't know who's listening, who knows somebody who's got that money, but let's get the ball rolling on that. Okay, Stephen and I would work on it ourselves, but we're too busy tracking the future. Okay, now.
That's right.
just kidding aside, the show tonight is actually a really good example of what we were just talking about, of how you can just almost kind of scratch the surface and not get much farther than that in terms of tracking everything that's going on. We've got a thematic show tonight. Our topic is technology out to get us or out to save us? And this is by no means the definitive list of topics currently in the news that address those two questions. These are just a few that that caught my eye, caught your eye, and that we thought would be fun to talk about. So just know that if you really wanted to do an in-depth treatment on is technology out to get us or out to save us, just for this calendar week, 2016, you would probably be looking at, I don't know, probably 40, 50 viable news stories that fit into that. But just to give it a taste, we've got a few of them. And of course, this is one of those classic debates. And anyone who's listened to the show knows which side we're going to come out on, right? Technology is not something that we talk bad about. very often on the world transformed. We're kind of pro-technology around here.
I can hardly imagine a couple of Luddites using Blog Talk Radio to get out their point of view. You know, it's just, I guess it's possible.
They have given in and bought a mimeograph machine, right? They're hand cranking it down in the basement, and they're sending out their
right.
Their newsletter via snail mail. So I don't know. See how many people
Maybe
they're reaching
so.
Every month. We know how many people we're reaching. So good luck to them.
Yeah.
But is technology out to get us or out to save us? And, of course, the rational answer is, well, technology is not doing either of those things. Even Kevin Kelly in his book, What Technology Wants, doesn't really think technology has purposes or, some master plan. But the question still remains, is it a net benefit or is it a net detriment to humanity? Or is it more of a mixed bag? Is it going to be the end of us? And certainly when it comes to things like the environment, which we didn't include anything on the downside here, just because I feel like it's been done and everybody knows those issues, right?
Right.
When I grew up, we feared environmental apocalypse almost as much as we feared nuclear apocalypse, both of which you can attribute at least in part to technology, right? The technology was leading to the end of the world and then it was going to be the end of humanity. We still have tremendous fears around the ecological destruction of the world. Nowadays, it's spoken of in terms of climate change. And once again, technology, or at least, some of the lower tech technologies, have a hand in that and are to blame for, the growing carbon footprints and so forth. But we're skipping those just because I feel like they've been covered, right? The first one that we've got here, China's robot revolution, well, that's been talked about ad nauseum too. Are the robots out to get us, or machines out to get us, or are they going to take our jobs away? But this one has kind of a twist to it, doesn't it, Stephen?
Well, it surprised me. This one
yeah.
genuinely surprised me because my thought is this, or it had been up until I read the story, is that, the place where the robots are going to take off is a place where a highly developed country, where workers are demanding more and more in the way of wages, to the point that, I think we can get something that's, marginally acceptable to do, 90% of what a human worker would do, and without all the headaches and the money involved in paying a human worker. I would think that that's where robots take off, right? And,
exactly.
That's
the
yeah.
expected roadmap for robot takeover, right? Exactly.
Yeah. But here we are in China, where if the stereotypical idea of China is that it's the home of many things, but cheap labor is among them, right? And but here we are, looking at the beginnings of a robot revolution in China. They still don't have as many robots per capita as some places, but it's taking off by leaps and bounds, apparently. So it's surprising to me. So let's talk about why, Phil. What's going on here?
Well, it's real simple. You got to pay about $600 per month to hire an employee in China, and humans have all the pitfalls that we know about humans. They can only work so many hours a day. In China, that's more than in most places, but still, there's only you can only work them so many hours a day, so many days a week. They get sick, they make mistakes, they die. They have to be replaced. There's all kinds of drawbacks to employing humans versus employing machines that can perform the exact same tasks. And, we've seen highly manual tasks outsourced in this country for many years, right? It's moving on for decades in this country. It catches up in China just like it catches up everywhere. Ultimately, they're doing it because the economic benefits of putting in the robots outweighs the benefits of using human labor. I've heard, actually, one of the things that people were upset about when the North America Free Trade Agreement was opened. Remember that huge sucking sound, right? It was all the jobs going to Mexico. And in
yeah.
fact, what has happened is the U.S. has lost a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. The U.S. has lost a lot of jobs to Mexico. Mexico, in turn, has lost a lot of jobs to China, right, over the in the ensuing years. And China is now losing jobs to robots in terms of, you know, humans are losing jobs to robots. It's like this cycle that just goes on. Meanwhile, in Mexico, humans are also losing jobs to robots. So that's happening within each locality, but meanwhile, as human labor moved, you know, it's like electricity going to ground, right? Looking for the market with the, you know, the best return on human labor. Eventually, even in China, you know, robots are cheap enough to make now and reliable enough to use that it's just the way to go. So,
and what it tells me, you know, only $600 a month is what it costs to employ a laborer in China, and yet they can get a better return on investment with a machine. That to me is incredible. I mean, so what does that mean? What does that mean, Phil, for the unskilled laborer in the United States that would like to get $15 an hour? You know, I mean, that's just. I'm just going to, you know, that's a little bit of a political question, a loaded political question.
Good work if you can get it, and good luck to them.
Yeah,
but economically,
doesn't seem sustainable in a world where, it's cheaper to have a machine than a $600 a month employee who works like 12 and 13 hours a day, you know, six days a week.
That's right. But let's not get too interested in the economics, because what we're talking about is what this says about what the machines are doing. And the bottom line is they're even stealing jobs in China. Right. That's the bottom line, because I agree. What this says about what's occurring economically and the value of labor is very disturbing. What it says about the value of labor worldwide is very disturbing. You know, when we talk about McDonald's going fully automated, it's two sides of the same coin, and that has to do with the real minimum wage is always zero, right? It's not really true. The real minimum wage is whatever you have to pay to install a robot, right? That's going to become the actual minimum wage. And
the thing that disturbs me about this, Phil, is that this could just reinforce the haves in the world versus the have-nots, because if you can't compete in the world market on the basis of cheap labor as a poor country, you know, you're a poor country and all you can offer the world is cheap labor. Okay.
Yep.
What if you no longer have that to offer because the robots and, you know, the robots in the most developed country in the world, you know, where people demand $15-$20 an hour for unskilled labor, you know, but they have robots now, and so they're not even outsourcing to the poor countries anymore. You know, so how do you pull yourself up as a poor country? Are you just perpetually poor now? Because
so the question could at least be revised to is technology out to get the poor, right? Or is it going to save the poor? If it is going to save the poor, I don't see it happening in this story anyway, right? There's not much hope of it there.
But I think.
Go ahead.
If this is helping, working conditions, because plant owners are putting in robots in places like China instead of putting people to work in, you know, terrible sweatshop conditions. Yeah. Well, which is worse, not having a job at all, or working in a sweatshop? I'll tell you, the people who are working in a sweatshop are there more than likely because it's better than not having a job at all.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's okay to treat them the way they treat them, but that's why they're there.
No, it's just
exactly.
But that's why they're there, because it was working, you know, crazy hours and being mistreated versus starving out in the countryside or someplace, you know. So it's not a good thing that people are treated that way, but it might be preferable to those people over the alternative. So it's a bit of a scary story in a way.
Unemployment's a scary prospect there. So there you go. I mean, that is two truly not awesome sounding, not wholesome sounding alternatives. One being worse even than the other, and robots technology all wrapped up in it. Okay, so there we go. We've made a fairly good case that technology might be out to get us, and we're going to have to move much faster through these now, Stephen, because we're almost halfway through the show, and we've only done the first bad one. We got to get to all the good ones. Okay, how about this? The dark side of the Internet is costing young people their jobs and social lives. I'll tell you what interested me about this story in the Washington Post is how close to physical substance addictions this Internet addiction, this online addiction, appears to be for, I guess, a lot of people.
Right.
And, you know, I think this might be an addiction that we all have to some extent, or many of us have, if not most of us have, but we're still functional, right? So maybe we're, you know, maybe we're not really addicted. I don't know. We're all highly functional alcoholics, right, running around here. But
Well, it's a little bit, it's hard to, you know, it's, you know what it's most analogous to in my mind is, you know, like Overeaters Anonymous. Okay. And the reason I say, you know, it's like the problem of overeating is because if you're an alcoholic, you can quit drinking completely. You can put alcohol behind you and never touch another drop again.
A person can live their whole life without ever having a drink of alcohol or smoking
a cigarette or
having a shot of heroin. But try getting through a whole life without eating a meal, right?
That's right. You can't do it. Well, it's a little bit like that for screen addiction, which is another word they're using here, because we're talking about all the little screens and the big screens in our lives. You know, we're glued to them all the time. It's a little bit like that because, you know, for most of us now, screens are you know, our jobs are screens, right? I mean, how much of the workday are you looking at a computer screen, Phil? I mean, it's probably most of it, right?
That is 90% of the workday.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm driving and I'm on the phone, and that's work, and that's about the only time I'm not looking at a screen.
Yeah, that's about the only time you're not looking at a screen. And please don't look at a screen while you're driving.
I don't.
At any rate, I can. It's my job.
A public service message from our local personal injury
attorney. Yeah, I got hired this week because somebody was looking at a screen. At any rate, and hurt my client very badly. So don't do that. Don't do that. Any rate,
please don't do that, folks.
But. Yeah, but I mean, again, more seriously, the screens in our lives. I mean, you can't be a mechanic anymore without spending a good portion of your day looking at a video screen. So it would be hard to eliminate that completely from your life. So I guess the point I'm trying to make, Phil, is use these things to service you. Don't let these things use you, you know, don't be a slave to these things. Let them work for you instead. And, you know, get away from it every now and then, you know, actually put the phone down and look at the person across the dinner table from you and have a conversation. You know, I've gone to fancy restaurants, Phil. I mean, like, you know, places that you would take, you know, that are intimate little cozy spots that you would have like romantic dinners, you know, with candle lit and everything. And I look across there and half the people are on their cell phones. I mean, what the heck? I mean,
that is sad.
That is sad. So,
and then you took a picture of it and tweeted it. Am I right? And
you're
like,
yeah.
Can you believe these people?
Crap.
What is wrong with these people? but you
know,
what's interesting.
And then
Stephen?
I look up my phone and I'm getting a glare from Cheryl, and I don't know what's up with her. Anyway,
what is her problem? Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
the interesting thing about both these stories, and maybe this has to do with one of the big drawbacks of technology, is it creates these kind of double binds. It creates this "you're damned if you do, damned if you don't" situations. That's what we see with which would you rather be? Unemployed and starving to death, or, you know, because the robot took your job, or working in a sweatshop. Well, neither one is a fantastic choice, right? What would you rather be? Somebody who has no contact with the online world at all and all the benefits it brings, or someone who's completely addicted and it's, you know, ruining their life? Well, neither of those sound like particularly good choices, whereas the benefits that technology brings are decidedly singular, although as we'll see as we progress through these, they you know, some of them touch bigger areas than others. And I deliberately picked one. I started with the narrowest slice I could find here. Okay, so point your phone at an equation and math picks will solve it. I could almost save this for Other Geek. Okay, this is just such a cool,
app. I love that.
But let me tell you the whole thing. Right, write down an equation. You take a written down equation, or like, you know, Goodwill Hunting. There's this equation written on the board, right? Aim your phone at that. Take a picture of it, and MathPix will solve the equation for you. Okay, so it's a fantastic way. You don't have to go in and recreate the whole equation. It will read it, understand it, and solve the equation. Now, where does that stand in terms of making up for the fact that people's lives are being destroyed? Well, it doesn't, I suppose. It's just a very cool app, and it saves people a lot of time. But we're just starting, okay? We're just starting here, rolling our way in the direction, and it's they get bigger faster here. If you look at the next one, solar power is ready to dominate energy thanks to new tech. Obviously, solar power is going to be a big technological, you know, solution to problems anyway. I mean, it's technologies.
I mean, it is the clean way to make money. I mean, make
there you go. Yeah, it's technology solving the problems that technology created, right? So when you go back to the whole,
right.
You know, technology is ruining the planet. Well, hey, look here. Maybe it can save the planet, right? I just love this. This is written by Peter Diamandis. And let me just read a section from the beginning here, because I just think, Peter is obviously good friends with Ray Kurzweil. And if this doesn't sound a lot like Ray, in the next 20 years, between 50% to 100% of the world's energy production could come from solar. Today, the global oil and natural gas industry is about a $4 trillion business. It's big money, and in the U.S., 67% of the electricity generated in 2015 was from fossil fuels. That's about to change. We're on the cusp of a solar revolution where the cost of solar cells will plummet, efficiency will rise dramatically, and the incentives for widespread adoption will become compelling. Boom. Okay?
Yeah.
This is like, if these numbers are right, this is the only realistic plan I see anybody, and it's not a plan, it's just what's happening, but plan I see anybody proposing for what to do about climate change, right? Or what to do about increasing carbon footprint. Has anybody else got a plan that's actually going to do anything about it? No, not that I know of. I mean, not that's going to be terribly effective, but this will actually work, right? And it's just happening, which is kind of cool.
And I would say this is not the only possibility. I mean, fusion. If we were ever be successful in creating fusion reactors, that would solve the energy problem and therefore climate at the same time. Obviously, what we need is lots and lots and lots of energy, more and more all the time, and yet not, you know, completely destroy our planet in the process. And that's something, a clean solution like this or like fusion or something like that is the way to go. So that's
absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Go ahead. I was just going to say.
I was just thinking also space-based solar as well. You know, think solar either on the planet or out in space being beamed down. It's relatively limitless. It's just a matter of continuing to refine our efficiencies. So
exactly.
And battery tech.
So when you look at a lot of the is technology out to get us? Is technology going to be our doom scenarios? It's interesting how in so many of those cases, the thing that will save us is actually technology, right? So you can almost say, you know, all the bad things that technology can do potentially could be offset by good things technology can do. So we can achieve stasis there, but it still doesn't answer the question of whether we're better off with or without technology. So the next three actually talk about how technology can not only solve the problems of technology, but actually improve the human condition. And I included this one prior to the health ones. This one should have been the last one. But this is just such a great story, also from the Washington Post. This is our friend James Hughes writing in the Washington Post, "Soon we'll use science to make people more moral." And I don't know if you had a chance to read this, Stephen, but this is pretty persuasive stuff. A lot of the kinds of issues that James writes about over at the Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies, kind of summarized, right? Kind of a introduction for those who haven't who aren't familiar with them. And when you look at them all, kind of laid out here, you know, I think there really is a case to be made that we might well use technology to make us better. The warning, the big caveat is that who gets to decide what's better and who gets to decide who gets treated, right? I mean, those are the scary
thing,
parts.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want this ending up in the city water supply, right? I mean, this is, you know, obviously if I make the decision, you know, Phil, I just want to be a better man. I want to be, give more to charity. I want to find it within my heart to do this and that and the other. And I just, you know, and lo and behold, now there is actual treatments I could take to, moving, on the spectrum between Gandhi on one side and Adolf Hitler on the other. I want to move a little more towards Gandhi, right? So,
right.
You know, I take this medicine and all of a sudden I find time in my day to do things that, you know, that I've always wished to do, but just couldn't find the will to accomplish. Well, as long as it's not, you know, someone deciding this for me, I think that's a fine idea. But to be able to be better people and to, you know, decide ourselves to be a better person, I think that's fine. But you know, it's a little bit scary that it could be done with chemicals or whatever to and have it done to someone without even them knowing. Perhaps that's a little scary. So,
yeah, of course, you know, the tin foil hat crowd believes that that's already been the case for years, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Has been slipping stuff into our drinking water. Well, go ahead.
I personally know someone who drinks well water, not because, you know, they literally go to someone who has a well and drinks well water because they're already convinced the stuff is in our city water supply. It, you know, I'm thinking to myself, haven't you met anybody that drinks the city water? I mean,
yeah, they're all pod people as far as he's concerned. I don't even know why he's talking to you, Stephen, because you're just one of them too when it comes right down to it.
That's right.
Okay, couple quick things about this one. I just want to say real fast. One is that just to swing it back to the earlier topic, one of the things he talks about is using enhancements to overcome addiction, which I think is an awesome idea. But the most important enhancement James talks about, obviously in keeping with the kind of philosophy they have over there, is making people smarter so that they'll make better decisions about what's good and what's bad. Okay, this takes us to our last two, and I'm going to just skip very quickly over IBM's Watson is better at diagnosing cancer than human doctors, because we've already talked about this one, but it's worth noting that IBM's been, that Watson has been going to medical school and is now beginning to actually practice medicine and is doing pretty well at it. I would venture to suggest that anyone who gets diagnosed with cancer who wouldn't have been, or gets a cancer treatment that wouldn't have gotten it thanks to Watson, is going to tell you that maybe the machines are not entirely out to get us. But this leaves us just a few seconds for this last story, and this was huge, okay? You know, stories like this should be bigger, but we just get so much of this anymore that we don't even appreciate it, I think, when we see something like this. But even this one knew to say it twice, right? IBM may have just found out how to end viral infections. Period. Yes, comma, all of them. I think it's worth reemphasizing that.
Let's take care of the common cold and AIDS and everything. Let's just do it all at once. And what's fascinating is how, you know, because every virus is a snippet of code, and it's all different. I mean, obviously, so if you figure out a way to solve one problem, one viral problem, that doesn't solve anything else because they're all different. Well, this is attacking the way that a virus attaches itself to a cell in your body.
Right.
And so
Every virus does it the same way.
So if you take away the stickiness of the virus so that it can't stick to anything anymore, then you may have solved the problem. Let me just say,
this is not technology solving a problem technology created. It's not even solving a problem that humanity created. This is technology taking on one of humanity's oldest, most pernicious, most hated enemies, right? The viral infection.
Yeah.
So is humanity out to get us, or is it going to save us? I think we have our answer right here.
Yeah. Viruses have been after us since before we were humanity. So, I mean, they've been around since the very beginning. Yep.
So
amazing,
the viruses
and
are
love that.
They're going to save us. Not the viruses. The machines are going to save us, and that's all the time we have. We'll be back again on Wednesday with another brand new and amazing show. And until next time, live to see it.